Thank you very much, Nikki. And away we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a month ago that Prince passed.
I guess I should know by the way you popped your car sideways. I don't wouldn't ask.
Now, you think that we would know something by now, and there's certainly a lot of scuttlebutt going around, and you've been hearing it in the news, and I'm going to talk about it in a second, but I do have sound here, audio from Prince's bodyguard, Romeo, talking about Prince's health. Here's what he had to say.
I bet this man's bags on a day. I've been on tour with him for months. So if anybody had an addiction, that would be something you would see. That would be something that you would know. That would be something that would be shown, not only through his actions and stuff like that, but through moments when he thinks people's not looking. So, no. He may have had a issue where he had to go to the doctor and they prescribed something for him, but as far as him abusing stuff, that's not him.
Okay. All right. So that's what the bodyguard has to say. But, of course, there's a lot of conflicting reports going on around the country and around the world. And I welcome Chief Legal Correspondent for Wild About Trial, Ryan Kearns. Ryan, thank you. Thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So let's start right at the top. Not only the media, but I think family members and the fans and everybody involved now, they're getting rather antsy. Where is the autopsy report? Tomorrow will be a month, so it'll be the one-month anniversary. And they said it would be out in 3 to 4 weeks, and now they're saying several more.
Well, that's the big question I think everybody wants to know is, where's the toxicology report coming from?
Right.
The autopsy was done so quickly, but now they're saying, experts are saying it's going to be another few weeks to the autopsy. Now, the medical examiner has said that, you know, they'd rather get it right than do it fast. But you can imagine how many parties with the estate, with the prospect of potential criminal charges and foul play, that people want to get the results as soon as possible. And as far as the doctors that are potentially involved in maybe some criminal prosecution coming their way, the results of this toxicology test can be determinative. If they find that there is multiple drugs in a system that were prescribed by these doctors, or as people are suggesting, the combination of Percocet and buprenorphine, if that combination is found in there, then the actual criminal investigation in some of these doctors may really proceed in earnest.
And so what they're talking about is acetaminophen and oxycodone, and which is very interesting because I went through major surgery last year, and the way it worked was you would take the acetaminophen that was mixed with OxyContin, and you would take – then that was the long-term effect. That would be the one every 12-hour pill, and then the oxycodone itself would be just something that you would take every 4 to 6 hours. Now, of course, I was coming out of major surgery, so if this guy's still taking this stuff for an extended period of time, as anybody would, you would become, obviously, addicted. Now, you mentioned the other analgesic, and what was that?
Buprenorphine, which is,
yes,
is a synthetic opiate, which is used to traditionally to ease withdrawal symptoms for people that do have an opiate addiction, which would make sense for him if any of the doctors there are trying to help ease him out of withdrawal symptoms if he's trying to recover.
Okay, so this would have been what Michael Schulenberg and his son Andrew may have, that's why they may be put into question, because when the son came down to Paisley, he may have had that in his backpack. We don't know, right?
So the initial withdrawal that he did have a small amount of buprenorphine in his backpack. And so it was, Dr. Schulenberg is the primary physician for Prince out there. But there was a California opiate addiction
That's
specialist,
right,
Dr. Howard Cornfield. And he actually he was requested to come out and help Prince with his opiate addiction. He couldn't make it. So he sent his son, Andrew, who's not a doctor, with this small amount. And now while Andrew Cornfield's attorneys are saying that he had that amount with him to deliver to a separate doctor, if in fact it turns out that Prince had it in his system, or that he had helped deliver a dose of that to Prince, since he's not a doctor, he's not allowed to administer drugs or provide the drugs directly to Prince. And that's where he may be in some real hot water here.
Right, like
that,
for sure.
This is where criminal defense attorneys have to step in, because that toxicology report comes back with some buprenorphine in his system, and this guy is some serious trouble.
Sure. Okay. Even if he was just trying to help him, again, he was not a physician. He was the son of, and Dr. Cornfield apparently allegedly could not go there in time. I don't know, scheduling problems. But let's go back to Dr. Schulenberg, his original doctor, I mean his primary. And so it looks to me by the reports that I've seen that the only prescriptions that were written were by this doctor. So it doesn't look like doctor shopping, and it doesn't look like there were, you know, straw patients or straw prescriptions going on, right?
As far as we could tell so far, the DEA started an investigation into this whole thing, and they're looking at other pharmacies to see if they'd overprescribe. They're looking at people around him that may have gotten false prescriptions for him that may have helped enable the situation. But the DEA investigation is just in its infancy right now, so we know very, very little about that. We do know that Dr. Schulenburg was the one that was prescribing him the meds. We don't know if – we honestly don't know at this point whether or not he overdosed on the medication or not. The toxicology report hasn't come back yet, which leaves all of us just guessing, right? We think that he's too young to have died just on natural causes, so there must be foul play.
Right,
but until that toxicology report comes back, it's just us guessing.
Okay, so the search warrant identifying the doctor has already been issued. The said warrant, however, did not mention if the doctor was present during the time of death or if he came right after the authorities arrived. So we don't know that either.
No, we don't. The initial reports that we've seen were that they were both Dr. Schulenburg and Andrew Kornfield were both present when Prince's body was found. So I believe Andrew Kornfield was the one who made the 911 call to the police in the first place, which actually, very interestingly enough, may provide him some Good Samaritan law protection in the state of Minnesota. For if you have, for example, a personal amount of drugs on you and you call the police to help somebody else out, some Good Samaritan laws in Minnesota will help protect you, which is so classically Minnesota.
Okay, and that's why this is why the doctor's son from California may be off the hook, because allegedly he is the person who made the 911 call because he didn't know the address of Paisley Park. Am I right?
Exactly right. It's one of those things where you think the best thing he may have ever done was be the one who actually
made that call. That's right. That may save him.
Yep, it could have been any of the other assistants that were around, any other person in the entire house or in the studio. But no, the fact that he decided he wanted to make that phone call may have just saved him. Stroke of luck.
Right, and then you also have to, and I'm thinking, and I have been thinking this, but I'll say it out loud now. It was the doctor's son allegedly who made that 911 call. I don't know if it's alleged anymore or not. I'm pretty sure has it been confirmed it was that the doctor's son? I'm not sure.
Everything we've heard is that the son made the call.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We haven't heard the actual phone call, but all the reports have been that he made it.
Right. And I don't think anybody in the media wants to play the 911 call. Anyway, I know that I don't. Okay. But having said that, that also makes me think something else, that maybe the son of the doctor called because he didn't want anything to do with the mess that was going on in there. He might have just come in for a short amount of time. And you know how this is. Oh, we hope he's going to come out of it. People who are close to him. I mean, when anything goes wrong medically, especially when drugs may or may not be involved, especially if they are, sometimes people are hoping, let's just hope and pray he'll snap out of it. He snapped out of it before.
And remember how intensely private Prince is as an artist. Where, so nobody – what happens inside his Paisley Manor was really just conjecture for a lot of people. He was known for being very private, but he was also known for being very clean. He had a very good reputation for not using drugs, not having any criminal history with drugs, which is very unique for a rock star of his caliber. So with both a reputation at stake, with his with drugs being potentially involved, you don't want to be one of those people in his inner circle that brings the media and the press into it if he's ultimately going to be okay. So maybe it did take an outsider like Andrew Kornfield to actually make that phone call to say, hey, look, this is something that's very serious.
Right.
We need to get we call 911. We need to get medical attention here immediately.
Right. Whether you people want us to or not, Prince or no Prince, I'm calling 911. All right, Ryan, let me ask you this. So you've been doing this for a long time. You know all about the law. Do you find it sketchy that the reports aren't out, the autopsy and the toxicology, a month going by? Because I really, honest to God, I have to think that they knew weeks ago what the answer was or is.
You know what, I've seen in my case with murder cases where it takes months for toxicology reports to come back. It can take a month and a half for just a blood alcohol test to come back if you're getting your blood tested. So a case like this with Prince, you have to also remember, I think your instincts are right on this point. When you have the DEA involved and you have such a high-profile case and you have federal involvement coming into play here, there may be a lot of other parties that are – that are working on this. And if there is an active investigation going on, which it sounds like there is, they may not want to release the toxicology results to the press until they've completed their investigation. So even if they do have the results, they may take an extra couple of days or extra couple of weeks even to interview people if something comes up that is not a clean result. If there are some other drugs that come into a system or some evidence of foul play, they may want to interview other parties. So there's all kinds of reasons, but it's not abnormal for this long, but every day that we go from here on out starts getting a little bit more suspicious.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. Ryan Kearns is my guest. He is the chief legal correspondent for wildabouttrial.com. Check it out, all things trial going on there all the time. But when we do come back, we're going to talk about the Prince bill that was pulled from the Minnesota legislature today amid concerns. That story just breaking. And then the will that doesn't exist. And so everybody and their brother and half-sister and brother and grandmother and niece are now filing claims for the estate. It's just, it's a hot mess is what it is. And we'll chat about it coming up with Ryan Kearns. But first on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, a look at traffic with Lee Graham.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show, on KGOA 10.
Coming up on the Trex Radio Show, we'll be talking to Johnny Fun Cheap with all the fantastic cheap things going on over the weekend. And later on, we will have a guest talking about stress in the workplace. You know how naughty that can be. So that's all on the way on the Drex Radio Show and a lot of fun when we get to the late night, late show wrap up. And all things scattered in between. Back to Prince's bodyguard, Romeo, talking about the fact that Prince was not addicted to anything.
The fittest person, like juice, water, fruit, fish. So, I mean, anything he put in his body was healthy. He made sure he cleansed. He made sure he did this. I mean, you get older, you have a little pain here and there, but let me tell you, nothing ever stopped him for giving all he could for the people that loved him and cherished him. Only time doctors would come in and say, give him like a B12 shot, you know, something like that, when he might have been feeling sick, you know, or low on energy.
Leave it in the morning.
But other than that, he wasn't taking it. He had more energy than anybody just off his natural presence.
All right, that's Prince's former bodyguard, Romeo. And back to my guest, chief legal correspondent for wildabouttrial.com, Ryan Kearns. Well, you know, it's nice that Romeo is trying to protect Prince there in that moment. But we all know about the emergency stop that was made in Moline, Illinois, and the safe shot that was administered and the fact that the hospital begged them not to take him out of that facility.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're getting more and more information that there was this other side of Prince, that whether it was just whether it was an opiate addiction, which it sounds like there was, because there's no reason for people to have invited Dr. Cornfield and his son, Andrew, who are addiction specialists, opiate addiction specialists, to come over to meet with Prince. There's no reason why they would do that if somebody didn't know something and they were trying to get him help.
Well, here's what scares me, Ryan, when I hear people like Romeo talking about that. The word enabler comes to mind because that guy, so the story comes out of Moline, that hospital, they didn't want him to leave, and they decided he was so sick. He was told, he told his peeps, don't let him leave. He needs to stay here. But they didn't have a private room for him. So they said, we're out of here. That probably wasn't the right thing. And that in itself, I don't know if there's any liability in that or not, but it sure is a shame. I mean, if it's anything, it's a damn shame.
Yeah, there's plenty of red flags, especially recently, where you could have seen many instances where he could have really gotten the help that he needed. And it seemed like he cut corners, or he tried to be too private. He tried to handle this internally. And by doing that, maybe he cut himself off from some of the resources that would have been available to him. Addiction is a terrible thing, and it affects so many of us in our country. And obviously, if Prince was falling victim to that, there's a lot of resources that can help you. But if you're not willing to turn to them, not willing to use them, Dr. Cornfield was, that's the sort of irony of this whole thing, was that the addiction specialist was there to help him that day, maybe with something to help soothe the withdrawal symptoms, and
right.
It was just too late.
It was well, the intention was well and noted. Okay, let's talk about the circus that is now the estate. And boy, I know that people still mourn Prince and his legion of fans, but I have to tell you, what you see going on in the family is really, really ugly. Prince's apparent niece and grandniece have stepped in to file their claim as they want part of the estate. You know, Tyka is living in Paisley Park, I do believe, and she's not having it. You hear about these meetings where it just becomes an all-out brawl. I'm not saying fisticuffs, but people leave in anger, and it stops and it starts. And what are your feelings on this?
Well, it's amazing what $300 to $500 million will do to a normally civil group of people. Now, I don't know anything about the family, but that's a heck of an estate to try to divide up. And this is so just to go over some of the real quick Minnesota law on this one, because it gives some real interesting insight into what's really happening here. So in Minnesota, if somebody dies without a will, if they die intestate, the entire estate will go in priority to the children first. So if he has any children. And then to his parents, who are both deceased. And if there's no children and there are no parents, then to the children of the parents, which are the stepbrothers and Tyka and anybody that comes in that's a sibling on that side. So while Tyka has claimed her and her six half-siblings in her initial petition to the estate, and then now there's this niece and grandniece that have come in, so there's more people. If there is a son or a daughter that can prove through genetic testing that they are the son or daughter of Prince, then the entire estate goes to them. Everybody else loses out. So there's this one remarkable case of an inmate in a Colorado prison, Carlin Williams, who has petitioned the court and said that he is Prince's biological son. And as is required for genetic testing in Minnesota, you have to file an affidavit that shows that there's a reasonable possibility of the requisite sexual contact before. And his mom pointed out a date and a time and a place in Kansas City in 1976 and said that she had relations with Prince at a hotel room on that day, and undeniably that her son is the son of Prince. And if they come in and they've already petitioned to have this expedited, his DNA test expedited, if it finds out that he is in fact Prince's son, then this inmate in Colorado gets everything.
Oh my God! Would that be the ultimate mind blowing situation?
Right? Can you imagine this merry-go-round situation?
Yeah,
where
I know, right?
Somebody finds out they have a rich uncle, but it's not. It's actually your dad is Prince, and you get his entire estate.
What is he locked up for?
All of the records.
Yeah. What is he locked up for?
I'm not sure what he's locked up for. I know he's in state prison though, which means he's not in the jail system. So it's something that's at least over a year in custody.
All right. So the siblings, not only are they fighting about the money, but they're also competing TV specials to cash in on. And it's amazing to me. They can't even get the memorial and the TV specials down. They're competing with these things.
It's such a money grab. And this, you know,
looks
what's going to happen. Everybody foresaw when he had no wife and no children, you think that, okay, everybody is going to come out of the woodworks now and claim. I mean, I think that maybe I look something like Prince. Like, maybe there's a shot. I don't know. Like, it's possible. I think everybody that thinks they have a claim of some kind is going to come. It's really unfortunate because of, you know, it detracts from the legacy of the person in general. We don't get to focus on Prince. We have this long, belabored, drawn-out, really sort of ugly court battle that's going to last for a very long time.
For years. Ryan, I have to ask you the obvious, and we all know this, and you listening know that we all should have a will. I have a will. I'm sure you have a will. Why did this 57-year-old man not have a will? Because you know this is what happens, especially someone like himself, like Prince. It's going to be, it's going to be a circus just like it is.
It's a terrible idea. If he, in fact, really did not have a will, it's so irresponsible to not have that taken care of ahead of time. Maybe he thought that he was still young and vital and he's performing and he eats well. We heard in that interview with his bodyguard that he eats fishes and has vitamins and
I know,
and
but,
all that.
You know, we all know we're mortal. We could walk outside the door and that could be it, you know.
Well, so maybe something about the rock star mentality where you feel immortal.
Okay. All right. The last thing that I wanted to discuss with you, and this is very interesting. This came up today in the Minnesota House, where they actually wanted to propose legislation. State lawmakers set aside a measure that would have clarified the rights of artists to control the commercial use of their names, likenesses, and images, and extend those protections to the heirs after a person's death. In other words, everybody outside is selling, you know, T-shirts and souvenirs with Prince's likeness on them, and they're all cashing in except for the estate. So nothing's authorized, and nor does it need to be. Again, that was never protected.
Yeah, the only thing good, so this bill was pulled, so it's no longer going to get heard during this session of the Minnesota legislature. But the only thing good about this bill was the name of it, which is Personal Rights in Names Can Endure, which is an acronym for Prince, which I thought was just so clever and fantastic. But the bill itself, the language of it, was so overly broad, it protected for a minimum of 50 years and maybe into perpetuity, which is way longer than even the copyright ownership of his music is, that you, which is 70 years, is you can't use a photo of Prince or any likeness of him on a T-shirt or you could have a Prince themed dance party in your dorm room and get sued for it. They didn't clarify it. They didn't narrowly tailor the language to a place that people could actually enforce it. It created a cause of action for any infringement on his likeness, and it was properly withdrawn, I think, today. Anytime you have legislation that's done in haste and on an emotional reaction, and I mean, remember, in Minnesota, Prince is everything. He's the reason why this hasn't been addressed in Minnesota before. There's, like, California, for example, has these laws because of all the celebrities. They have these laws, just they're so well-tread. But in Minnesota, it's a new thing, and they really should take their time. If they want to take it up next session with better language, they should do that, because this one was going to create all kinds of havoc.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan Kearns. Well, let's stay in touch, because the autopsy reports and the toxicology reports eventually will drop, and we'd like to talk about it again.
Can't wait.
All right, Ryan Kearns.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Thank you. Have a good night. Ryan Kearns, chief legal correspondent for wildabouttrial.com. All right. Let's talk about the fun things that are happening on the cheap side with Johnny Fun Cheap. There we go. Coming up here after the break. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee.
Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I going to fit?
Welcome to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Live and local in the Bay, and as the sun sets all across the western United States. All right, we've got a lot going on. Coming up here, after we talk to Johnny Funcheap, I'm going to be talking about all of the TV cancellations and the shows that they're bringing back, and there aren't many of them. Man, these guys, the big guys at the network, are swinging the axe, baby. So if you want to see if your favorite show is going to make it to next season, stay tuned. Johnny Funcheap is on the air with me on the Drex Radio Show. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Drex. Hey, tell me, is ALF coming back? Please tell me the TV show ALF is coming back.
ALF. Let me see here. I don't see ALF on the list. This may be a bad time for you. You might not want to listen to the next segment. But it really is amazing how many shows they're cutting. You know, with I can tell you the problem is... I do believe with Netflix and Hulu, boy, these guys are just cutting budget corners all over the place. I mean, the TV executive who runs Fox said, look, this is good for actors and actresses and grips and lighting people, but there's too much television. So
I used to work for a movie studio, and my job was the lowest of the low PAs, production assistants.
Right.
And my job was to build the beds that were in the set. That's all I could do, and they wouldn't even let me keep the craft.
And thus you became Johnny Funcheap.
Well, yes, I quit that job.
Right, all worked
out. Why don't we talk about some of the great things to do this weekend if you do not like television and you want to actually get outdoors and do something in the real world? We've got a ton of great stuff this weekend. It's like all of a sudden, once May started, we've got about 5 months of just back-to-back-to-back-to-back amazing weekends of events. One of my favorite events that's taking place is actually harkens back to a movie rather than a television show. You've seen American Graffiti, right?
Right,
from the 1970s?
Yep.
So it's a classic sort of George Lucas film about the 1960s, and it was filmed right here in the Bay Area in Petaluma. And so every year they have a salute to American Graffiti. It's a big festival and vintage car cruise, and it takes place on Saturday night in Petaluma. They have over 400 classic cars and trucks, plus dancing, live bands. And the coolest part is that the cruise that they do of these classic cars goes through the exact same streets that they filmed in the movie. So Friday night on Netflix, watch American Graffiti, if it's on there. I don't know if it's on there. And then on Saturday, go to Petaluma starting at, let's see, it's around 4 o'clock is the cruise. Goes on until 8 o'clock, or come early and just see the car show. And all of it is completely free in downtown Petaluma.
I'll play Wolfman Jack on the Mighty 810.
Exactly. Oh, you did that great.
Mighty 810. Yeah, Wolfman Jack. Oh, I used to love that dude. Yes, he's my hero.
Yeah, it's a great film. It's got Harrison Ford's in it. Ron Howard is in it.
Yes.
Cybill Shepherd, I think, is in it, right? She has like a quick little cameo in the movie.
Richard Dreyfuss is in it, I think.
Richard Dreyfuss, yeah.
Right, and produced by Francis Ford Coppola along. And you're right, George Lucas was the director.
Yeah, without this success, he would have never been able to do Star Wars or ruin the Phantom Menace. So this is a big thing.
Nicely put, Johnny. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is going on? I know the great San Francisco sidewalk sale.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because I run Fun Cheap, so I like really cheap things to do. And so this is a great one. It's Small Business Week coming up. It's sort of a made-up holiday, but it's a cool way to sort of avoid big box stores and help out local stores. And so what takes place this Saturday, the 21st, and the following Saturday on the 28th is in San Francisco. It's called the Great San Francisco Sidewalk Sale. So 20 different neighborhoods are going to have all their merchants associations, sort of rather than you go into their shops, they're going to put as much stuff as they can out on the sidewalks and have specials on all of it. So this Saturday, for example, it's going to be the Castro, Fillmore Street, Glen Park, Haight-Ashbury, and Bernal Heights. And then next Saturday, it's a whole different group of neighborhoods. It's going to include West Portal, Noe Valley, Union Street, Sacramento Street, Polk Street. So these will be great ways for you to like get to know your local businesses and help support them while finding a really great deal.
I love that. I can just imagine some of the freaky things you're going to find in those neighborhoods that you just mentioned. I'm not sure I could touch all of those items, but it's got to be fun.
Bring your plastic gloves. Yeah, it'll be fun. It's a wholesome event for all people who listen to Drex.
All right. How about the Porch Fest? What is that all about?
Okay. This is really, really cool. So, you know, you've got Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, the big music festival. You've got Outside Lands. You know, these are the big things. The Porch Fest is one that not a lot of people talk about, but it's one of my favorite music festivals all year. Takes place on Saturday. It's in the Mission District in San Francisco and in Noe Valley. And rather than being at a concert venue or in a park, it's called Porch Fest. Can you guess where these concerts take place?
On the porch.
On the porch, that's right. There's about 20 different locations that are either front porches, front stoops, backyards, or other outdoor spaces. It's all genres, all ages. It's all free. It happens from noon until 6. Really cool. You can kind of just stroll along Valencia Street and down 23rd Street and up Shotwell and just get sort of surrounded by music. And if that's not enough, when it all ends at 6 o'clock, you can go into the chapel, which is on Valencia Street, and they're going to have a bunch of the bands that were playing on the porches, and they're going to come in and have a free after party in the chapel starting at 6 o'clock. With many of the bands that were performing all day.
Well, that's, this is one of the things I love about San Francisco. We have all the cool stuff. All the big cities I've been in, they all try to do their repetitive events every year, but nothing like we do here. Yeah, I mean, these are great, great inventive things that, sorry, other cities, you're not very good at doing. Yeah, all right. And then what about the other side of the bay? Oakland.
Okay, so we've got the Oakland Book Festival, which is really cool. It's 7 hours. This is on Sunday. It's 7 hours with 60 writers and 40 different events in front of and inside Oakland City Hall. And what they do, again, I love when they take unusual spaces and turn them into event venues. They actually take a bunch of the hearing rooms inside City Hall, and they're going to turn them into meeting rooms instead, meeting halls, and have panel discussions with journalists, with fiction writers, poets. Then in front of City Hall, they're going to have bookmaking activities, they're going to have readings, children's programs that are going to be curated by Fairyland. It's all free from 11 until 6, the Open Book Festival. We just hope that the weather stays good, but at least half of this festival is going to be indoors in City Hall. It's annual, it's great. If you love books, definitely take part or stay on the East Bay side and head to Open City Hall. For the Oakland Book Festival.
Well, wow, that is really a great thing because I know so many people love to read. My other half, she'll be there for sure. And you said, what are there, 60? There's going to be 60 authors?
Yeah, there's 60 different writers. It's and a whole bunch of different panel discussions. And it's not just the meetings. Like a lot of book events are just,
right.
You know, they have a bunch of people read their books. Well, this is in addition to the reading, there's panel discussions on a bunch of different topics that range from, you know, gentrification to what it's like to be a publisher, you know, how hard it is to publish, trying to tackle social problems. And so you can kind of choose whichever one panel discussion kind of fits your needs or what you want to learn about, and they encourage people to come in with their own questions and to contribute as well. It's not a top-down thing where people are just reading and you're there passive. They're trying to involve the whole community, and all right. I think that's a really cool event.
Fantastic. All right, Johnny Funcheap, thank you as always, and be wonderfully safe as you always are, and fantastic, and we'll talk to you again real soon. It sounds like a great
weekend.
Thanks
a lot, Drek.
Okay, Johnny Funcheap, everybody. And then, of course, I have to tell you, I want to talk to you. Did you see the game last night? Now, I was preempted, so I usually don't like to be preempted, but I was preempted. And by the way, we always make a show, so if you're not into basketball, if you're not in the Warriors, I don't know what planet you're coming from. But anyway, yes, there's always a podcast available for every single day, even when I'm not here. And you were quite nasty on it, because
That's
it was
right.
a podcast, Brian Pelletier. Just because it's a podcast, so he immediately drops the F-bomb. I'm thinking, oh, well, and we're still sitting in a studio. It's the strangest thing when you do what I do, and then, you know, I'm like, where's the dump button? What is he doing?
It's like for internet use only. I'm like, great, I can say bad words.
Right, so he did. He got that out of the way right away, so go to KGORadio.com. Let's get to the game last night. Loved watching it. Loved being able to sit on my sofa and drink a glass of wine and watch it. And Steph, what? Why? Steph Curry. So he dives into the crowd. Why did no one catch him?
I have no idea.
What was the deal with that? I'm sitting at home going, what do you, what?
You should have rethought that. It's not Lambeau Field.
Right. It's not, it's not Packerland.
Yeah, you're not diving into you know, a whole wall of hardy Cheese Packers heads. Football fans.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You might want to think about that. You're the best player on the team. We need you.
Well, but not only that, I was thinking, why didn't anybody catch him?
I know.
It's Steph Curry. Everybody loves him. Who? I want to hug him. Give him a hug.
Oh, man.
Free hugs.
All I could think about is
jump into my lap.
Other athletes who have done similar things and gotten injured, and I'm like, no.
Oh, I know. And then when he fell, it was scary.
Yeah, but yeah. It's good to see that, you know, he's going to be fine.
Can I say something nice about Oklahoma? I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to. Look, these guys are playing civilized playoff basketball. Not like those nasty Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really didn't like them at all. By the way, I have no affinity whatsoever to OKC. I'm just saying, just watching the difference the way they are with their attitude and their gameplay. They're playing fair. I mean, they're playing playoff basketball. And I think everybody's trying to hurt Steph and the whole wide world is the playoffs. But I just thought that they're playing much more professionally than I saw in the Houston Rockets.
Well, you know what? They're playing better at this time of year than the Rockets were. And the Rockets were so talented.
But they were jerks.
And they were jerks because they knew that they were talented. And they knew heads were going to roll after the season. And, you know, when they knew that they weren't going to beat the Warriors, things got really chippy.
Yeah. Okay. So if Steph Curry comes your way, hug him.
Or hold him up if he's diving into you.
Free hug, Steph, forever. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the shows that are canceled. As we were talking about here at the beginning with Johnny Funcheap, the axe is swinging in Hollywood, so a lot of your favorite shows might be gone. I'll tell you which ones next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Gray.
KGO 810.
Hola, que paso, people. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I am going to talk about Bang Fit around 8:30. That's all I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
Yes. And at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about stress in the workplace. We all know how ineffective stress is. But we have our author, Beverly Flaxington, who's going to discuss, tools to provide, I don't know, to make things a little bit better in the workplace. Five good points and make your shift. Okay. Now, as promised, let's talk about the boob tube. No, I'm not talking about Bang Fit until 8:30. Stop it. People are tweeting me at Generation Drex now. Do it now. No, I'm not doing it now. You have to wait.
All things come to good boys and girls. All right, that's enough. Okay, let's talk about renewals and cancellations. We'll start with CBS, everybody. Let me see here. As we've heard, CBS renewed Supergirl. And then let it move to the CW network, where it's a better fit with all the DC-based comics. And you would like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a good match. Right. They have done Supergirl and Flash crossovers, and they've done Arrow and Flash crossovers. So I think being able to cross over all those universes together will be good for the television shows now, and the network.
Okay, as I mentioned, there's a lot of shows that have been cut. It's a budget-busting hour with the network. So let's see. Here are the shows that are renewed. Two Broke Girls. I'm a little surprised at that because that one always is teeter-tottering. The Big Bang Theory, of course, that's a must-have. Blue Bloods, Code Black, Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, Elementary, Hawaii Five-0, and Life in Pieces. I think, you know, is Hawaii Five-0, I think this is its third season now, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Must be working.
It's interesting, a lot of those, like, formulaic dramas and TV shows are the ones that are kind of, you know, making it through.
Okay. Madam Secretary's coming back. That's a good show. Mom, NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS New Orleans.
See?
You know what? It's you women who watch this stuff. I've never seen an NCI in my life. Never. Never. No, women like Red Rum. It's the women who like this stuff. It's really twisted, people. I don't know what's... Did you notice that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
the female numbers in this stuff is through the roof with the NCI shows. It's most of the big ratings numbers are amongst women.
I will say in my household, my wife is more likely to watch that than I am.
Right, I don't like violence. Okay, Scorpions coming back, The Amazing Race, which is always amazing, which just wrapped, and that was a lot of fun. Survivor's coming back, Undercover Boss, 48 Hours is coming back, and of course, 60 Minutes. Oh, how sad that Morley Safer passed. I'm so sorry to hear that he passed. You know, they just on 60 Minutes this past weekend, this past Sunday night, they did a retirement piece and reflected on his amazing career. And he passed today.
Yeah, what a journalist.
So we're going to miss him. Yes, incredible journalist. All right. The shows CBS is not bringing back include Angels from Hell. Oh, here's a CSI that's going out the door, CSI Cyber. Guess that didn't work out. The Extent, The Good Wife, Mike and Molly has wrapped, so that's not coming back. Obviously, they had the series finale, Person of Interest, and Rush Hour. Bye-bye. All chopped. Okay, let's take a look at NBC. Oh, I'm waiting for Celebrity Apprentice, which won't start until January.
With Arnold.
Yes, that'll be right around the time that Donald Trump will be sworn in as our next president.
I hope not.
Okay. But that's going to be a fun show to watch. Advisors will be Warren Buffett, Tyra Banks, Jessica Alba, and the new Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer.
Oh, it'd be more fun with the old Clippers owner, don't you think, with all of his craziness that he has going on?
With his girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. All right, so let me see here. NBC still isn't sure whether they're bringing The Biggest Loser back, but the shows that they did renew include The Blacklist, Blind Spot, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD. We love all things Chicago. Grimm, Law & Order, SVU.
Okay.
Shades of Blue, Superstore, The Carmichael Show, and The Voice. And also they picked up, as I said, Celebrity Apprentice, Little Big Shots, which is a lot of fun to watch on Sunday nights, Running Wild with Bear Grylls, Caught on Camera with Nick Cannon, Hollywood Game Night, and Dateline NBC. The planned Coach revival was canceled without airing any episodes. I don't know what happened to that. And the shows that they canned are Best Time Ever with Neil Harris. That turned out to be the worst time ever. Crowded, Games of Silence, all canceled. Heartbeat, Heroes Reborn, Mr. Robinson, The Mysteries of Laura, The Player, Telenovela, okay? Truth Be Told, Undateable, and Welcome to Sweden. Never even heard of any of them. I guess we won't miss them. ABC. Give me the cancellation page, please. All right. And the shows that are renewed are 2020, America's Funniest Home Videos. God, that's been running for 100 years now.
Yeah, I was a kid when that came out.
Right. American Crime, The Bachelor, of course, Blackish,
The Catch, Dancing with the Stars, Dr. Ken, Fresh Off the Boat, and The Goldbergs. Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, Last Man Standing, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Middle, Modern Family, of course, Once Upon a Time, Quantico, The Real O'Neills, and Shark Tank. The ones that are canned are Nashville, and they're trying to shop that right now to Hulu or Amazon.
I believe it. Netflix. There's a market for that.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Castle, Marvel's Agent Carter is gone. Gallivant, The Muppets is not coming back.
They actually
no, The Muppets sucked, dude. We all love The Muppets, but it was just bad. It was just, did you ever watch it during prime time?
No.
It was just bad.
That's probably
okay.
Why.
Right. Blood and Oil, The Family of Kings and Prophets and Wicked City. Let me see here. I'm running out of time. Fox is not bringing back American Idol, Border Town, Cooper Barrett's Guide to Surviving Life, Grandfathered, The Grinder, Knock Knock Live, Disaster, Minority Report, and Second Chance.
What's Ryan Seacrest going to do now?
I don't know.
Idol?
He's just going to have to work on that radio gig and hope that that company he works for doesn't go under. Things are looking a little sketchy.
Fingers crossed.
Right. Okay. So, and they renewed The Simpsons, Sleepy Hollow, Rosewood, Bob's Burgers, and a bunch of others, Brooklyn Nine, Family Guy, New Girl, and we'll discuss all the rest coming up. But that's basically it. There you have it. Your TV and the Drex Radio Show continues on KTV.